Hello and welcome to the program. Today we're in John chapter 2. We're going to look at the marriage, the mother of Jesus, the miracle, and the message for us that is written there today. Stay tuned. I was thinking as I was looking at this portion of scripture about marriage, about a mother who was in our auditorium about 20-some years ago, and she had a little tiny baby. Well, as time went on, and maybe I'm thinking 15, 16, 17 years later, there was a young fellow came to church, and I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord, and he was very faithful, loved the Lord, and continued in following him. Well, just recently, I also had the privilege of marrying that little baby who was now in her 20s to that young man who I had the privilege of leading to the Lord. Now they're establishing a Christian home. Marriage is of God. Marriage is important. The word marriage is in the Bible 19 times, married, past tense, 30 times. The word husband is in the Bible 120 times, and husbands, plural, 19. The word home, 51 times. The word wives, 132 times. The word mother, 249 times. And the word wife, 397 times. God established the marriage, he established the home, and the first miracle that the Lord did in his ministry here on earth was, it says in John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. We'll look at it in a minute. Before, listen to this message and song, He Lifted Me.
In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgive me, lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Though on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well, yet how or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. Sinking sand, he lifted me, with tender hand
As the story begins, the focus is on the marriage. It says in verse 1, the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples. Now, it seems like for some reason here, we're not sure how it works, but the mother of Jesus had some authority in this wedding. She seems to be in charge, and she was there, and Jesus and his disciples, they were invited to the wedding. In verse 2, the focus goes on the mother. It says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, that is to Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now there is some very good advice. This phrase, woman, is a phrase of endearment. It wasn't something where it's used today in not such a way, but it was in the Old Testament and in New Testament days, a term of endearment. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Well, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The word woman is in the Bible 363 times. Mother, she was just totally submitted to doing the will of God. She was not perfect, as some would suggest she was, anything but. It says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 44, when Jesus was just 12 years old, it says, they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. They had been to Jerusalem for the feast and were leaving to go back home to Nazareth, and they didn't even bother to check if he was there. Can you imagine when he was first born, how they would have protected that baby? And maybe when he was 3 or 4 years old playing out in the yard, she would be looking out that window every 4 minutes or less, make sure he's okay. But now, here they are, he's only 12 years old. They just walk off and leave him there, supposing him to be in the company. There's a lot of supposing him to be in the company going on in our services these days as well. Well, they went to look for him. It took them 3 days to find him. I don't know where they looked. They finally said, well, let's try the temple. You would have thought they would have gone there first. When they found him, Mary said, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now, Jesus was never, ever disrespectful to his mother, but he said in verse 49, I must be about my father's business. The word father in verse number 48, you know, is lowercase. It's not capitalized. In verse 49, it is capitalized. Now, if anybody knew that Joseph was not the father of Jesus, it was Mary. The fact is, if he was the father of Jesus, none of us are going to heaven. It was important that he was born of a virgin. Well, the focus goes to the miracle now. It says that in verse number 6, and there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Well, she had said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So they did it. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Again, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that it was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now, this word drunk is the same word as translated drunken in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, where it says that they be drunken, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And so what he's saying here is you get them a little bit drunk and then you can give them the poor wine later. He said they've done this the other way around. Now, whatever's happening here, one thing is obvious, that Jesus is not giving them fermented wine. And we could do a whole series on wine in the Bible. We're not going to do that today. But we know that Jesus would never be a part of making drunk people more drunk. It says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Well, they're saying at the last, they're going to give them the poor wine because they don't know what they're doing. Jesus would never be involved in something like that. Not only that, Hebrews 2:17 says Jesus is regarded as the faithful high priest, and Leviticus 10:9 says the priests were not to have anything to do with strong drink. And so we see here what is happening in verse number 11 is the manifestation, the whole miracle. This is the reason. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. That's what it's all about here. Well, his glory, according to Vine's dictionary, that means an appearance commanding respect. Well, in verse 12, we see that after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. So we see here that his brother, his mother and his half-brothers and his disciples are heading to Capernaum. Now, that's going to take him a couple of days to get up there. It's not the kind of trip where you can get in your new Honda van and drive up there. And we notice another thing here is that Joseph is not mentioned, and it is assumed by this time that he has passed away. Well, you get to Capernaum, and my wife and I some years ago had the privilege of being over there in Israel, and we went to Capernaum, and it's just a bunch of stones where they've excavated a little bit of it, and there's nothing there. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 33, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Why did he say that? Well, Jesus spent 70% of his time in the 3.5 years he was here. He spent 70% of his time in Capernaum. It was here that Peter's mother-in-law was healed. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He preached the kingdom parables here. The roof was open, you remember, and a man was let down through the roof, and Jesus healed him. That happened there, and Peter, they were right on the water there, and Peter went and got a fish with money in its mouth. In fact, it was here that Jesus walked on the water. It was the hometown of the Lord. And Jesus said, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." Well, the next focus is the Passover, and we read in verse 13, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." Now, why did he do this? Well, there's one of the reasons right there. It was for the disciples. Is he going to clean up the temple? Or are they all going to pay attention to him because of the fact that he did this? Well, 3.5 years later, right at the end of his ministry, he comes and does it again. They didn't change. They're still going through the things that he had told them not to do. But he did it for the disciples, when they remembered, it says that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Not only that, in verse number 13, it says, "The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Well, he went to Jerusalem to begin his ministry. And how does he begin his ministry? With a whip. Why does he do that? Well, because it's the Jews' Passover. If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, and verse number 11, it's supposed to be the Lord's Passover. However, it's not like that. And much of that's going on today. If you look in the book of Matthew, the Bible says there that Jesus said, "I will build my church." When you get into the book of Revelation, where those churches are all going downhill spiritually, he says, "I will remove thy candlestick." what was God's church became the pastor's church. And so there's a danger here of us doing the same thing that these Jews were doing at this Passover. It was the Jews' Passover. Well, in John chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Jews are upset, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore, get this verse now, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now in verse 23, we read now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover at the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw his miracles which he did. Yeah, it says here they believed in his name. They didn't believe in him. The Bible says that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But there's more to it than that. We must believe in him. We saw that in a previous program. Well, many believed in his name. Why? Because they saw the miracles that he did. They're going to ignore the message and focus on the miracles. And so it says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Well, this story begins with the mother of Jesus saying, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You want to be happy? Trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.